I won't skip, because reading over and over, God speaks to you and says, you've got to say this. You've got to say this. So I'm going to read from Genesis. I'm going to read also from this Deuteronomy. I'm also going to read in the New Testament, because they're all saying the same thing. All the doctrines of the Scripture, like the doctrine of salvation, is the same Old Testament, New Testament. There's not two doctrines, just one. But if you read the Old Testament according to the letter of the law, you miss it. You lied, you deceived yourself as well as others. So the Jews cannot read it according to anything but the letter of the law. So when they read the word mitzvah, they read it as command. But mitzvah has 30 different meanings. It could be decree, it could be precept, it could be all kinds of words. But it also could be, and it is, in Genesis 26:5, mitzvah is the word used for the gospel. It's the gospel promise that was made with Abraham. And all of the sons of Abraham, all of those who are children of Abraham by faith, all of us are part of that good news. So the whole Bible is 100% good news. I'll prove it today. So everything that you read in the Bible is this. This is an assertion. The assertion is this, that Moses never preached the law to the children of Israel. Never. He preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to Israel. But they didn't understand it, because mitzvah can be interpreted in two ways. It could be a command or it could be a promise. But in the Old Testament, 26:5, it says, and Abraham believed God and believed his covenant mitzvah. Same word, same exact word. So his believing trumped then the letter of the law by the spirit of the law. So if you read the Old Testament wrongly, and everyone does, I say everyone, I mean 99.999, because there's only a handful, truthfully, that read it exactly that it's hidden in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament. So you read the New Testament, you already are understanding the gospel in the Old Testament, and you who are born of the Spirit, you read it spiritually according to the spirit of the law, which is always greater than the letter of the law. James 2:13 also says it. It says that mercy triumphs, rejoices, laughs, triumphs over the judgment of God. So the holy judgment of God is actually a promise, and it's not a law. It's a law of promise. It's a decree of promise. In other words, he obeyed that promise because he knew this is the truth that'll set you free. So freedom is from beginning to end, never from heaven. I mean, never from earth. It always has to be from heaven. There's no liberty in this world. I can show you any culture, any people, anywhere in the world, and they have total anarchy and tyranny from their rulers. I can name you historically all of those. They'd never heard of freedom. And when they had freedom, it wasn't really freedom. They were tolerated, perhaps. Sometimes they were, you know, accepted on a certain degree and so on and so forth. It's not really liberty that sets you at liberty, free to obey God and to do exactly what he says. And we do that, and we call that faith. We call that faith. So the just shall live by faith. So if you're just, you live by faith. Now, I'm going to two other words I'm going to introduce today. Dabar is the Old Testament word in the Hebrew, not mitzvah, but it means the word. Dabar, D-A-B-A-R. But there's also another word, and they all mean the same thing, promise. They look like a law. They look like a decree. They look like a precept. They look like, you know, some anything that you think looks like anything other than the gospel, you're wrong. The whole Bible is just gospel. It's all good news. And Jesus came to reveal that, not by proclaiming it, but by transforming you into his image and likeness. Now you have his image, but you're not yet like him. How many know that Christians still sin? Christians are big sinners. So you can go to, you know, have a lawyer that's a Christian lawyer. I wouldn't trust him. The Bible says trust no man. I wouldn't trust a pastor. I don't trust pastors either. So you don't have to trust anybody because the Bible says don't. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in princes. Don't trust in, you know, representatives, Senate, representatives. It doesn't make any difference. Don't trust anybody, including Trump. You don't trust him either. You only trust the Lord. So he is the only one. So we believe that everything in the Bible is all good news. We believe it's all blessing. We believe it's all promise. We believe the law can never, ever go against the promise. It was a sworn oath by God, promised to Abraham, and then the law, which 430 years later came up, it could never then remove. It had to agree with, be circumscribed by faith. So faith is the only thing that God left us because the just shall live by faith. And live means eternal life. It doesn't mean bios. Everybody can die. That's not the issue. Anybody can die, and God, by foreknowledge, knows who's going to die. But you don't need to know it. You don't have to be curious, because when you die, you die. So it's good when you're born again to remember to die. Memento mori in the Latin. Don't forget today you're going to be dead in a little while. So they did that every day. And so every day when a monk would meet another monk in the Catholic Church, they would say those words, memento mori. And so don't remember death. I mean, don't forget death. You're going to die. So that's exciting. Isn't that exciting? No, you don't think that's exciting. But you're wrong. So everything is upside down in the Bible. When it says law, it actually means gospel. When it says gospel, it actually means law. Because actually, by faith, when we do it, it's actually doing the law as it was intended to be done by faith. But someday you will see what you believe today. So everything that you hear today, you want to hear the word of God, whether it's the bar, you know, whether it's then mitzvah. It doesn't matter what word they use. They're all the same. They all equal the same doctrine, the same teaching. Salvation, Yeshua, Jesus' name in the Old Testament, is Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, HaMashiach in Hebrew means Jesus the Messiah. So the Messiah is the same thing as the Greek, Jesus Christus. Okay, it's the same thing. And so if it is, then Jesus is the Christ. It's also saying Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. It's insane. So it's, we have the same thing. So we're not doing away with the law. We actually live by the law, but not by the law that kills, by the law that gives life. So that's reading it by the spirit of the law. So when you have the spirit of the law and you are born of the spirit, filled with the spirit every day, led of the spirit every day, then you are, you know where? You're bound for heaven. Your destiny is heaven. Because the good work Jesus began in you, the Alpha and the Omega, he actually then is the way, the truth, and the life. He actually then is your all in all. He's everything to you. He's your husband. In the future, you'll be married to Jesus. So now you're betrothed, so you haven't yet consummated the marriage. And yet, he's your husband, and you're also his bride. And you're the body of Christ, you're the bride of Christ, you're all these things that the New Testament has to say. And so God is wanting you to be happy every single day. How many know that something in you doesn't want to be? There's something in you that's going to find a flaw in something. There's something in you that wants to control something. There's something in you that wants to gripe and complain and, you know, so on and so forth. Everything in you has, you have to go a war against all of that and say, I don't care what it seems, how it appears. Appearance is not reality. Reality is upstairs in heaven, and it won't change. That's not Neoplatonism. That's not any other philosophy or idea. This is something God hath said, and you cannot do what you cannot do. So you cannot do a good work ever at any time. You were made not to be God. If you did it, you'd be God. But you can't do it. Any good work you do, you're, oh, I'm so proud I did this today. So it doesn't work. For the Jews, for the Catholics, for anybody, Protestants, any religion. They're all under laws. But we aren't. We're under the gospel. We're under the good news. We've been pardoned. We've been forgiven. That cannot change. Now, I'm going to read now what is written here in the Bible to prove what I just said. The priests and Levites, verse 1:18, Deuteronomy 18, and all the tribes of Levi shall have no part or inheritance in Israel. I'm not going to explain it. I just say it. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. So all of this we will inherit. Therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren because they didn't have the land. Inheritance here means the land. So the Jewish people were after land. They wanted to have their land back. Remember, Abraham saw the whole land. He walked through it and he said, this is all yours. All the way to the Euphrates, all the way up into Syria, all the way down into Africa, all of that to the Mediterranean Sea on the west, all of yours. But they haven't seen anything yet. Poor Abraham, all he got was Isaac. All he got was a son, Yitzhak, which means you laughed when I first told you that. And so call him, he shall laugh. And so Yitzhak is exactly the Y-I is always future. You always worry about future. There's your future. Yitzhak, he shall laugh. In other words, he being a human being, will being part of space and time, he will laugh someday when he realizes what God has given me. For example, he loved his older son, Esau, the Edomite. Esau is a land, and when they were in the womb, Jacob and Esau, Jacob was a son that said, I don't want my brother to be first out. And so the brother was first out, and he was red. And he was hairy. And he was a man's man. And Esau, right? I love that boy. I love that boy. So Yitzhak loved Esau. But on the other hand, the mother loved Jacob. Because the second born, and you see in the Bible, the second born is always the spiritual one. The firstborn is always the king. The kingdom. And so he was offered later in his life, he was offered 12 kingdoms of this world would come from Esau. Why is it then that the Edomites, why do they want 13? They want Israel itself. And so that's why they're in the West Bank. That's why they're in Gaza. That's why they're there to take over Israel. And every bomb, and I've held these bombs, there's hundreds of them, thousands of them, but I've held them. They have a big yard just outside the city, and you can go, and it says words that say Israel. And they're aimed exactly for Israel, to destroy Israel, take it away from the Jews, and have it for themselves. So that's why they live in Israel. They live everywhere. They live all over the place. But the ones that are happiest are those that said, I wish I were part of the Israeli thing. And so they become citizens of Israel, and they're well off. The others are not well off because it's all due to, you know, wanting to take over the world. You can't do it. You just can't do it. So, and I went to Gaza one day, spent the whole day in Gaza. And we were in it's an amazing place. But they were showing me all the things that are kind of secret to the Israelis because they have balloons everywhere. They have everything. And they can hear anything. They can see anything. They can see everything in the city, in Gaza, and so on and so forth. So I said to the guard there, can I talk to one of these ladies? Why are they on the bus today going into Israel rather than staying here in Gaza? Because if they're going there for hospital or whatever, you have hospitals here, you have clinics here. So I talked to this person, there's a lady, and she had her kids with her. And she said, well, we don't trust our doctors here. We don't trust them at all. And all the money that came for 20,000 buildings being destroyed, then the Muslim Brotherhood controls all of that. And so they get all the money. And so all of our buildings are still in a shambles. So we'd rather trust the Israelis than trust these people who are our leaders because they've betrayed us. Wow. That could happen in America. That could happen in America. You could have a mayor or, you know, a local, you know, city council or governor or president, anyone could steal from you because they have all the power. And so we pay a lot of taxes for the welfare state, which isn't in the Bible. It's not in any reality. It's not in the Constitution. It's nothing. But anyway, we're now pretending like we're a church and then helping everybody. Everybody is, you know, these lives matter, these lives matter, and so on and so forth. So the world today is crazy. The world is upside down. But that's all right. We aren't, because you have the Word of God. And since you have the Word of God, we don't have to follow the world. As a matter of fact, I don't trust anybody in the culture. None. None. Not at all. Except Danny, maybe. That was a joke. That was a joke. And so, any Christian, yeah, I trust Christians, but I trust them to be Christian, which means let everything to God. Let God do it all. Don't do anything. Just have faith in God. You don't have faith in yourself. How many people want to be faith in themselves? They want to be idols. That's just nothing but idolatry. You're worshiping a false god, which is you. So everybody wants to be self. You want to be a god himself. You want to be God. But God said, no, you can't be God. You can only be like God. And so I didn't want confusion in heaven above with two gods and three gods and 50 gods and so on. So I'm just going to do. But all the idol worshippers all worship many gods, all kinds of gods, because they don't know there's only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the Iman, the Hen, Bereshit Bara, Elohim, Bereshit Bara, Elohim, the Iman, the end, is plural. So it has to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why? Because of the New Testament. The New Testament is very clear. And by the way, it also says in the Old Testament, God and His Son. Psalm 2, a lot of quotes. But you could read it in the Old Testament, but you have to read it by the Spirit. And have to realize the New Testament and the Old Testament are exactly the same. They're not exactly the same meaning by the letter. They're exactly the same by the interpretation of the text, by their understanding and application of that text. And that's what law is all about. There's a text, then there's the interpretation or the understanding, and then there's the application. So the police usually apply then what the law says to do as they interpret it, and then they are supposedly going to do everything for your benefit. Did you know that? We're in a republic of laws. That means the higher laws, nature and nature's God, those two higher laws. So the natural law and the revealed law are exactly the kind of laws that we're under, but we forget all that. We forget all that because sooner or later you get too busy making money. You get too busy, you know, being distracted. You get churches that don't tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you're going to be in trouble because you're going to get the wrong teaching is, well, you need to do that because you need to show your appreciation. No, God doesn't want anything in return. When God does something for you, there's no return. Everything He gives is a gift. It's a gift. How much do you pay for a gift? At Christmas time, little kids get gifts. Hey, Dad, this is what I wanted, you know, and so on. They're excited because it's a gift. They don't say like this. Now, how much did this cost, Mom? I'll pay it back. No, you don't pay God back. Never. He doesn't want any pay. Why? Because He's God. And everything He says, there it is. So if He's always good and always gracious and always merciful, then no one else is. I'll say that again. You can do it by faith, but you can only do it after you believe, after faith. So what's written in a law will never trump what's written in the early promise, 430 years prior to that. So everything in the Bible is good news, everything. It's the gospel. The gospel's hidden in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament. But the New Testament is so clear, it wouldn't make any sense unless you have the Old Testament to prepare the way. Moses then prepared you, and this is what he said. I'm going to read it right here. I'm going to read it. Exactly what he said. For the Lord thy God, verse 5, chapter 18, Deuteronomy, For the Lord thy God hath chosen him. Him, who's him? Out of all the tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. Now, if you turn right now to John, if you turn the Gospel of John 4:22, I will in a second. Because I want to say you something. This is what he said. God is going to raise up a prophet for you in the last days. So don't listen to me. I'm paraphrasing it because that's what he was saying. Do not listen to me. I am not the greatest, but there's one coming after me who is great, and you'll see him in the end of time. That is the last days. Well, anything after Daniel's the last days. But anyway, he's saying this way 1500 years before. He's talking about the future when Jesus comes. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And in the fifth chapter, this is the fourth chapter, 22 verse. But the fifth chapter says, Moses wrote of me. So everything Moses wrote was about me. You search the scriptures, Jewish people. You think that in them you have eternal life, but it is they that bear witness to me. In other words, everything you're writing about is Yeshua. And Yeshua just means salvation in the Old Testament, and it's Jesus' name in the New Testament, because his name is, I'm the Savior, and I'm your Lord, and I'm your bridegroom, and I'm your all in all. And everything you've ever wanted, I got it all. And you can't find it any other place. No other religions, they're all idolaters. They worship falsely, and everything they say is a lie. So I don't trust any other religion at all, and I don't trust their governments that are the fruit of that religion. I don't trust them either. I can't, because the Bible forbids me to do that. Don't eat of that tree. Don't try to figure out what's good and evil. God is good and you're evil. I mean, that's real simple. Did you understand what I just said? You are evil because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So how are you good? By faith. So by faith, where does that come from? Comes by hearing. It doesn't come by hearing and understanding. It doesn't be hear and then, you feel something. It doesn't need any miracles or signs or wonders. It's just read the word and it transforms you and, gives you everything for free.
Amen.
Everything's for free. That's liberty. That's freedom. And you're free from this world because you're free from. You're also free to. You're free to worship God with all your heart, soul, and strength by faith and to love your neighbor as yourself by faith. But you also realize you have to be free from the kingdoms of this world, which someday, by Jesus, when he comes back a second time, not yet, when he comes back, then you'll see that everything Jesus promised, now he has to keep. Because God promised something. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Can't. So if he's eternal life, you have eternal life. If he buried, you were buried. If he rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. Whatever he did, he identified so much with you as a sinner who repents because of the good news that Jesus did it for me, then in me, then through me. And so God is now wanting a hot church, not a lukewarm church, not a cold church, but hot, because lukewarm will never get hot on its own. And cold will never get hot on its own. But the hot can touch the cold if it's really hot. So if you're going to be a Christian, go all the way or don't go at all. Pastor, I think I've gone halfway. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. It's still up to God. So yeah, you can do anything you want to win his favor. You won't win it because God's always been in love with you. He's always been a loving father. He's never been an angry judge. He's always been a loving father. He's never been an angry judge. Never, 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 never. And when the final judgment is spoken, it'll be Jesus Christ. It won't be the Father. Now, the Father can indict anybody who doesn't go to Jesus. So the Father himself could judge anybody, and you go right into the lake of fire. And no discussion. To the right hand, that's all the church. To the left hand, it's everybody else. Everybody else is condemned. Everybody else. Because you broke your conscience early on. You were unreasonable early on. You sinned early on. You rebelled early on from Adam and Eve. And so everybody, original sin still matters in the world. What Adam and Eve did, we all did. Remember his firstborn son? Cain. Cain killed his brother. So that's how murder, that's how all the bad things happen in the world. They all happen because of sin. Sin is really serious to God. He hates sin. He hates sin. He hates sin. But he loves sinners who repent. He loves sinners who, after they sin, repent and say, God, have mercy upon me. I've heard by the grapevine. Somehow I heard that you are good. So your goodness come forth here. And you're gracious. That means we find favor with you. And you're merciful against our sins. So, there it is. So now everything is good news. So everything I've ever told you all these years is the same thing. I never changed the message. Because the message is always the same. It's permanent. It's immutable. You cannot change it. And once he says that, the temporal world will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. But my word will never pass away. So if you have his word in you, and all you have to do is hear it. You don't have to hear it and think about it. You don't have to hear it and understand it. You don't have to hear it and feel it. You don't have to have a rhema. You don't need some miraculous thing. You don't. God is in control of the rhema, not you. You can't say, I need a rhema. You can't do that. He's not going to do it. He's not manipulable. He doesn't negotiate with, bad people. And so since you have one sin in you, one sin will keep you out of heaven. Just one sin. But you will be a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any stain, without any blemish, without anything that's unclean in you. You'll be unblameable forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. But it's not in the future. It's already now. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait. It already is a description of who you are in Christ. Because that's your new creation. You're no longer you. I'm no longer Jim. I'm now Christ in me and me in Christ. We're already betrothed. And so he's my husband and I'm the wife. There you have it. But I'm only part of the wife because everybody that believes in Jesus will be part of the wife. And don't worry, it's innumerable. The ones that it's a remnant from the rest of the world, but really it's just a remnant. In other words, it's just innumerable, that number. So you don't know who the number is, but there'll be Jews in there, there'll be Christians. In fact, from every nation, tongue, and tribe, every family will have somebody in the kingdom of God before he comes back. Amen. That's amazing. Everybody. So whatever their name is, or whatever their family is, or whatever their culture is, it's okay. He's going to save somebody. He's not going to leave the world with no hope. No, he's going to leave it because he came with vengeance the second time. Hadn't done yet. Second time he'll come with vengeance for the wicked. But then, and he doesn't want you to do it because you might do overboard. And so he might, you went my eye, I'm taking two of your eyes. That's the way man thinks. You see that? Yeah. How much can I get from this? And the lawyer says, well, a million. Could I be two? Yeah, two. Because I don't want to just get what I'm due. I'd like to get a little, something for you doing whatever you did. And so God says, I reserve that to myself. I don't want anyone else to do vengeance except my son. Because he was the one beaten up. He was the one suffered. He was the one that was killed and destroyed by everybody. Okay, so I'll let him be the judge of what's right and wrong. And Jesus always pleases the Father, so he doesn't do anything except what the Father says. And so Father will, whatever they do, whatever signals there are, I'm just going to follow Jesus and I'm in heaven. So, I'll just do whatever Jesus does. And so you don't have to think. There's nothing to think about. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. If you do that, and you only do what Jesus does, and you have your eyes on him, doesn't say, beholding him, you are changed because you fasted. No, it doesn't say a lot of that. It doesn't say because you tithed for 3 weeks. It doesn't say anything like that. It's not wanting you to do anything. It's not wanting you to pay anything. This is all free. Everything on earth is free. As far as God is concerned. So everything that he created was for you, for your benefit, for your blessing. So God is using this because of a prophet that will rise up in the last days, not listening to Moses, but listening to Moses as the preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to him, because all of God's words will be in his mouth. God says, my words I will put in his mouth. He will never speak a word except what I say. So everything he said God was with him. You remember that? One time he said that, you know, it's me and the Father. And they said, well, who's your Father? Because they didn't know his Father. Well, show the Father. Just show us the Father. We'll be satisfied. You can't. Sorry. Too bad. Because you want a sign. You want security in this world rather than the certainty of the Word. But you're going to only have the certainty of the Word. That's it. So nothing else that you see in this world. All other religions of the world are all seeable. You can observe them. You can see the robes. You can see the altars. You can see the buildings. You can see all kinds of things that say, this is a high muckety muck. This is someone really valuable. Don't believe by appearance. Go by truth, and the truth will set you free. So God wanting a people on earth that are free. And what we have here in Texas, we have something so powerful. We have a Bill of Rights that's much more close to the Bible than is the American one. Though there's nothing wrong with the American one. There's nothing wrong with it. It just has 16 words, and those 16 words are very brief, and they're just simply trying to say there's no national church and something like that. But the point is, they're not wrong. They just simply didn't fill it out. But the Texas 1-6, Article 1-6, it's at the beginning, not at the end. Because historically, they made the Constitution, then they made the Bill of Rights afterward. But in Texas, we learned something. We said, no, let's put that at the first. Let's make everything be governed by the law of nature and nature's God. So, it was made. In fact, ministers could not own land. If you were a pastor, you could not own any land to build a church upon. You had to then make a deal with somebody else and get that, but you couldn't do it to own it. You could only do it to be a steward of it. Do you see what I'm saying? Somebody else paid. So ministers of the gospel were not part of the United States. They belong to God. That's been changed now. Now you are an arm of the state. And every church has to go 501c3. They have to qualify. They have to prove that they're a church. But not in the beginning of Texas. No way. They just simply had some trustees do it in trust because it was a trust. So it's a public trust. And so the trust is that we trust it to these people and they won't be taxed. They didn't pay any tax. Never, 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 never. And we have all the documents. We have a document that's this thick, huge, 3 inches. All things, this property passed to this property, passed to this property, and so on and so forth. And so a lady here who owns this piece of property you're on, it was given to somebody. And then it was given to somebody and somebody and somebody. And they reserved a lot. It's still there. But we have this right here. And we meet here. Because we are now the original patentee, the one that got the patent in the first place, because he had two husbands. And one husband was 640 acres. The other one, 640. So that's 1,280 acres. And it goes all the way out to my house, way out here, 15 minutes away. And so we have this piece of property, and it goes all the way downtown, by the way. There used to be a kind of like an iron-shaped building down there that came to a peak, and that was the old library. That was not the one we have now, but it was the old library, and it ended right there, right at that point. So we could have all the oil and gas that's between here and there, and there is. But I didn't want it. I don't want any help from man. I don't want to be tied up in the world. I don't want anyone sending me something from the government. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Because I want to be free and suffer. I don't mind suffering. I don't mind dying. If you're afraid of death, you don't want to be a Christian. But probably I will go before you will. So you're probably okay. Because it might take them a while to figure out who you are because we don't have any membership roles. There's nothing. We're not part of the world because my kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said to Pilate. If we were of this world, he said, then my soldiers, whom I said, don't take a bribe, don't try to save me, don't try to help me, let God be God. And Pilate was satisfied. He came out 3 times to examine him. And every time he came out, he said, I find no crime in this man. This man has not double parked his donkey. He hadn't done anything. He's broken no Roman law, no natural law, no spiritual law. He's broken no laws at all. This guy is innocent. And they said, no, no, no. So then the Jewish people said, no, we want him dead. I know what you want, but you're jealous of him but I don't find any crime in this guy. There's no fault. He does nothing that disobeyed the law. So it isn't the Christ killers. It isn't the Christ killers. That's not the issue. Who was that, you know, one that made this happen? No, it's all men have sinned. All have sinned. So even churches sin. How many know churches sin?
Yeah.
And they can lie to you. They can deceive you. They can trick you. And I would be like that if I didn't years ago, in 1971, I had an encounter with Lord Jesus Christ, and I was a bad guy. But from that moment on, I became a Christian. I fell in love with Jesus, and it was just instantaneous. In 1 second, I was that there. From now on, there is a God. I know him. He's in my heart. I didn't know that, but I knew that in that moment. And Jesus is his son, my Savior, my Lord, my bridegroom, and to the death for me from now on in my whole life. From now on, I'm ready to die every single day. I die daily, Paul says. So when that happens, then I don't have any stake. I don't have any investment here. I don't have anything to do except preach the word. So all I'm doing, if they shut us down, burn the building, you know, whatever, it doesn't bother me at all. I'm not bothered by it. Let them do it. Y'all understand? Because we have WebEx now. Thank you, Norman. And so Norman now, and so not only do we have, you know, 50, 75, whatever, people in Dallas and Fort Worth, now we get 200, 300, 400, 500, almost 600 sometimes people listening in from all over the world, in the Netherlands and all over Africa and so on and so forth. So we're better off now. So what the devil meant for evil, God has used for good. Because he's gracious and because we're favored. And once you favor somebody, God can't change his mind because he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And he is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're a pastor or a lay person. He doesn't care about any of that. He loves everybody just the way you are and then provided an offer to you. The perfect sacrifice of his son. And that offer is you can have mercy anytime you want it. Anytime you want that, it's yours. And it's a description of who you are. It's not a prescription of what you ought to do. It's a description of who you are in Christ. So now you are a new creation in Christ. Powerful. So this prophet that he's wanting to raise up is one that will say everything he says, you can go by any word that he says at any time because it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Everything else is a lie. I take everything else as a lie. Everything. So can God favor people that are wicked? Yeah, of course. He does it all the time. So even though Christians still sin, you can always confess your sins every day. Every day. He reveals a sin. I can't remember one day that he hasn't revealed a sin in me, which is real easy. It's like, you know, were you proud when you said, yeah, I was. So I just say the same thing here, so you'd go to hell under the law. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I read your word. And he says, you forgive me because I'm confessing. I'm saying the same thing you're saying. I'm a saint now. So don't say Jim. Say Pastor Jim. No, don't say that. Just say Christ in Jim. That's it. That's my whole hope right there is he's in me and I don't care how I behave. I do not care. So I'm not even watching, caring about, you know, how good I look or how my behavior is this or if my tie is on right. I don't care because you're just exactly like me. I'm just exactly like you. The only thing is the faith. All you can do is have faith. The just shall live by faith. Old Testament, New Testament. So the best has been saved to the last. How many know that the best hasn't even been shown yet? All the things you're suffering right now is just beginning of sorrows. It's nothing. COVID, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't mean anything. There's a prophet that spoke 2,000 years ago, and everything he spoke is actually winning today. You think the anarchists and tyrants are winning. They're not winning anything. Only Christianity will survive. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away. So everything here is rubbish. Everything here is dung. Paul calls it dung. Keeping the Old Testament law, dung. It was just poop. It's nothing. It has no value. But this gospel of Jesus Christ, good news. So the Old Testament law, we still read it. Everybody here should read the Old Testament. I'm reading the Old Testament. Why? Because you need to realize that even in the Old Testament, the gospel is right there. But I don't read it by the letter of the law, which kills. I read it by the spirit of the law, which gives eternal life. So I read that every time, and I'm happy every time. I can't believe that God could still love me, and I'm still sinning. Is anyone here sin today? One, two, three, four. Yeah. Five. That's good. Anyone else? Does anyone else sin today? Six, seven, eight, nine. Yes. Ten. Praise God. Sinning is nothing, because Jesus Christ died for your sins before the foundation of the earth. That's when he was slain from the foundation, before the world began. So, you don't have anything to worry about because he's already been forgiven from, because God has always been a loving father. He's never been an angry judge. He was never wanting anyone to do anything for anybody else. He wanted you to give all your love because I first loved you. So, because he first loved us while we were yet sinners, then he also cleans up all our sin, the good work I began in you I will surely complete. Then he says, now, don't pay me back, pay your neighbor back, because that's the one who needs it. So, that's all I do. I don't do it because I understand it. I don't even understand it. I don't care about it. I'm just going to do it. So you just do it, and it changes the world. Just by doing it, you just change the world. But you start with your wife. Anybody here who's married, I know not everybody's married. But if you are married, that's okay. This is your word. As Christ loved the church, let every man love his wife. So everybody that's a Christian, if we could just get the Christians who are married to love your wife just as Christ loved the church, give her all the blessing, you take all the burden. Her all the blessing, you take all the burden. Isn't that exciting? That will kill you. That will kill you. That will kill your flesh. Your old man cannot survive that. So you have to have war against your flesh. You have to every day wake up. God, if there be any wicked way in me, any, it's even hidden. I don't even see it. Just show it to me. I'll immediately change. Just like that. But I won't change. Christ in me will change. Thank you, Jesus. How many know that really works? And so then you see that when you actually obey what Jesus said, because you're actually obeying the Old Testament without knowing it, because you have the Spirit of the Lord. Because the Spirit always triumphs over the flesh. And so since you're not born of the flesh, you're born of the Spirit. And then also, then he begins to perfect you, living in your heart. Now he's in your heart. He's up in heaven and in your heart because he's a Spirit. So Spirit can, you know, be in two places at once, seven places at once. It doesn't make any difference. You can pray for the whole world. You can do anything you want. Wow, that's freedom. That's freedom from the bad guys, and that is liberty to do what the Lord wants you to do. It's only two things. Love God with all your heart and soul and strength, by faith. Love your neighbor as yourself. He did that for you too also, by faith. Those are done. Now you're done. Now you could die in peace. We had a church member here 2 weeks ago. She came to me, and her father had just died 3 days before. And she said, my father died in the faith. Wow. That's cool. But I don't, why are you telling me that? Well, she says, because he said, when you gave me that first tape, I listened to it and said, I have never heard this truth before. That's what I've been looking for my whole life. I've gone from church to church to church to church to church, and I never found it. When I heard that, I became filled with joy, and I kept listening to message after message. And so he died in utter peace. That's powerful. Amen. That's powerful. That makes the church valuable to this man, this particular man. Wow. When the daughter was met, so happy, because this is a guy that needed to be happy. This was a guy that needed that peace with God that passes all understanding. You didn't do it. God did it. You didn't do it. God did it. Everything is a gift. Everything is free. Everything. Everything. If you work, he won't. If you don't work, he will. This is simple. If you work, he'll stop. If you expecting to pay God off, it'll not work. And he'll just stop. It's like the lukewarm church. He just says, I spew you out of my mouth. In other words, I can't even talk to you. I say, be a Christian. You say, you already are one, and yet you're behaving like a pagan, and so on and so forth. So I can't. I'm not going to ever talk to you again. So the lukewarm church can't hear God. So why are all the anarchy and tyranny is happening, COVID-19? Why is all that happening? Because you have nothing but a church that's lukewarm. You don't have a hot church. You don't have one that's in love with Jesus with all their heart, all their soul, all their strength, by faith, and loving your neighbor as yourself, by faith. But you know what is happening? Christianity is on the rise. Anti-Christianity is going to fail. Do you understand what I just said? So the anti-Christianity seems like it's on the rise. Their stock is up, you know, they're really doing good. And they think, you know, we're gonna win, you know, get out all the religious people and all the sick people in the world. Because we are foolish to believe in Jesus. But I say, no, I'm wise. Why? Because I believe Jesus said the truth, the whole truth. And it's my personal experience. It's my personal hope. So if I die, I don't care. I just go home early. I don't really care. If they torture me, I don't care. I don't want it, but I'll take it. So I trust God. I just trust God. And so whatever God says, I says. Whatever God does, I does. Right? Who else is like me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. That's pretty. Colleen? Did you raise your hand? I want to make sure Colleen is there. So everything is ready. He hasn't left anything undone. Everything that Jesus did is finished. Remember on the cross he said it's finished. What's finished? That I did everything as a son of man by coming to earth, begotten of the Father before all worlds. I did everything that God wanted me to do, and now I've finished my mission. My mission is over. It has nothing to do with Jesus being not God. He's always been God. He's been on earth always as son of God. But this is just son of man who was sent, same person. Son of God is son of man. Son of man is son of God. He was doing all of that to say, I'm like the people. I'm one of the people. I'm a priest that takes away the sins of the world. And I'm coming back as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm coming back to do vengeance for the wicked and deliverance for the righteous. Wow. We haven't seen anything yet. That's all in the future. Hope you were blessed today. Hope you understood. I don't even know what time it is. What is it?
We got time.
Is it 11:30? 12:30?
12:20.
12:20? Oh, I still have 10 more minutes. Okay, I'm going to read you then Genesis. I'm going to read you Genesis, then I'm going to go back to the other one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is so good. Let's see. Genesis 26, right here. Okay, this is what it says. And he's talking about the first famine they had in the Promised Land. And so he's talking about this. And he says, I will perform, God, I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. This is Isaac's father. And I will make your seed, Abraham, your seed to multiply. So Avram became Avraham. As the stars of the heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He's talking there about Shem, Ham, and Japheth, because they survived the flood. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, mitzvah, same as dabar, same as any other word, my statutes and my laws. And so since Jesus did that, that's what this verse is all about here. This prophet in the New Testament, so I want to turn to John 4, 22, and I'll end with this. John 4, 22. Okay, 4:22. This is so powerful. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now, remember in the Old Testament, which we just read, Moses said, God will raise up another prophet, not like me, meaning having the same authority because I heard from God and he was faithful in all the house of God. But he will have the gospel of God to replace the law of God, which is imperfect. Because you're reading it by the letter of the law, you need to read it by the spirit of the law. But this guy will have the Holy Spirit. He'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He'll forgive you all your sins. He'll die on the cross for you. He does everything you need to do, and you don't need to do anything. Wow, isn't that amazing? You're just like a little kid. Because unless you become like a little child, you'll not enter into the kingdom of God. So this thing is for little kids. And little kids are interesting because they just look at you and Jesus, okay, it's Jesus. You know, and they don't know what they're doing, but they just believe. Yeah. If you say Jesus, they say Jesus. If I put my hands like this and we pray Jesus, say pray Jesus several times, pretty soon they'll do it. And then later when they talk, they'll something like that. Hey, you didn't pray. They'll catch you in that because you were supposed to pray to Jesus. You forgot that. And little kids, if you speed, they know that. Dad, you're speeding. Said 45. You're going 70. And my kids, they caught me. And I said, well, okay, I've sinned. I've sinned. You guys got me. But here's the deal. Don't tell Mom. Because she doesn't like me speeding like that. And I'm going to buy you ice cream right now. Now, that wasn't in the Bible. That was not in the Bible. But so the kids are good. So once you teach them, be like a little child, and you just start believing everything. It works. It just works. So when you are raised as a Christian and you're raised that way, you don't forget it. You just keep that, and nobody then can tempt you. You say, oh, we raised our child in the Christian family. I don't even know what that means. That means you, I don't know what kind of Christian you were. You were a lukewarm Christian, hot Christian, cold Christian? I don't know. I don't know what that means. Because just because you're confident doesn't mean you're going to get your way. Because you're not God, and you can't tell him what you want. You just say, God, if I would like you to, you know, not make me embarrassed today. That's what I pray. I mean, every Sunday I pray that. God, I don't have to speak your words exactly, but roughly speaking, I just say some random things. I hope it touches somebody. So don't embarrass me. Thank you, God. And then I don't look. I'm not looking. I just leave it to God. How many know God loves you? If he loves you unconditionally, without any condition, then won't God then tolerate all kinds of things that you do as long as you say, I confess, God, I did that. I just tell the truth. I use Bible words like lasciviousness. I don't even know what it means, but I know it's bad. And, you just have to, you know, just study it. And that's what I do every day. I study the word every day to see this. So this whole thing is 4:22. Here's the word. And the woman said to him, this is the woman at the well, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Remember in the Old Testament it said, God will raise up a prophet. She perceives it. She's not even from his tribe. She's from a different tribe. She is from the half-breed people. So they were half Jewish and half Assyrian, or whatever they were. And so there's very few of them in the whole world today. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say, you Jews say, that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain, Mount Gerizim, nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. This is a brand new idea. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Ha! Now, why I said that? That's the verse that he's referring to, by the way. Because he's saying in the Old Testament, everything the Jews have written, if you read it by the spirit of the law, is true. It's the gospel. It's good news. Everything you don't read it by the letter, you're going to be under a law and you'll be oppressed. You'll never be able to have peace on earth goodwill toward men. The only if God is a loving father and never an angry judge can he give you that peace on earth. So I'm happy all the time. Amen. All the time. No matter what happens, I rejoice. I mean, I might for a few seconds get mad and angry and murmur. But then I'm quickly, God, I just murmured. You heard that murmur. That's all. Sorry. Well, that doesn't do any good. Okay, I'm not going to do it anyway. No, that's going to do any good. Okay, I just say, I believe that your mercy is awesome. I believe you forgive me, a sinner. And I'm not under sin, I'm under grace. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. That's in your word. You got that in your word. I'm borrowing that idea. And God loves it when you do that. Use his word for him. We worship what you worship, what you know not, you Gerizim worshipers, but we worship because salvation is from the Jews. It's not from anybody else. The hour comes, and now is, now, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And you have to think about that for a while. Remember, Jesus is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the Holy One, so. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So now, and I can speak on. But this thing ends it right now. Whatever Jesus promised in the Old Testament, he fulfills in the New Testament. Think not that I come to do away with the law. I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it, make you possible to be able to do it in Christ. And if you weren't in Christ, that's the hope of glory. If you weren't in Christ, then these things wouldn't be true. So God is not looking at your behavior. He's looking at his promise to you, keeping it. He's the promiser, and if he lies, he's not God. So it has to come to pass. Whatever God says has to come to pass. I believe that. That's why Abraham heard, you'll have more children than the stars in the sky. You'll have more children than the sand of the sea. You'll have more children than the dust of the earth. That's impossible. No one could believe that. But he did. And God counted that as righteousness. You know why? Because God did that. Jesus Christ did that. The Father did that. The Son did that. It doesn't matter. They're all one. And so then all of a sudden he said, I believe. So, okay, you'll be the father of faith. So it's just like that quick. He looked at the stars in the sky. 1, 2, 3, 4. Couldn't number them. And then he looked at the sand of the sea. Ugh. He said, there's a lot of, you know, every square, you know, foot or anything. It's just loaded with numbers. Can't count them. And the dust of the earth, nobody can count that. That is ridiculous. But he believed. Why do you believe? Gift of God. Total gift of God. 100% gift of God. Amen. That's how I became a Christian. I just asked God, you know, why did you give me... you know, this girl for a thing, because I know when I raise her up, this is when Kara was born, and when I raise her up, she within a year and a half or 2 years or something, she's going to be mad at me because she's going to find out what I really am, not the phony thing that we had going for us because you were just a little kid, didn't know anything, but now you can speak English and you can put the soup on me and all that kind of stuff. But now, from now on, she'll hate me because she'll realize that my dad was not what he said he was. He was a hypocrite and a liar and phony and fake. Mm. And I knew that was going to happen because I'm such a fake and a phony person that I would cause her to love me and, you know, it would be fun when she's little like that. But then when she grows up, she'll hate me when she finds out the real truth. And she can just look at Mom and see, you know, Mom wasn't so happy with him. Because little kids are really sensitive about moods and stuff like that. They can read that right away. Hey, Mom doesn't seem to be smiling about this Jesus thing. And so they can picture that, wow, this must not be a good marriage. And so Dad is not a pastor at all. He's nobody. Well, anyway, I was scared of that, so I went to the Botanic Gardens. This is how I'll end. I went to the Botanic Gardens, lifted up my hands. I don't know why I did it. 5 inches of snow. No one is in the Botanic Gardens except me, November 17th. And then I lifted up my hands and said, God, I blame you for all this because you're giving me a girl. If you've got a guy, I could handle it. But I don't like girls because they're going to love me, and then I'm going to have to love them back, and I'm pretending and so on and so forth. Then I'll get caught. Then you'll hate me forever, and I'll be a mark on her, and she'll never marry, and so on and so forth. But anyway, today she has 8 kids. But anyway, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. The point is that God accepted my lousy prayer as a rotten sinner. Because I had head knowledge. I knew what God was supposed to do. He's supposed to forgive you and, you know, something like that. So I said, God, you have 2 years. And in that 2 years, if you don't save me, I'm not going to be a Christian. I'm going to tell on you. I'm going to say, I prayed to God and it didn't work. I'll quit the ministry. I'll just do everything. And so with all that knowledge and all that skill and all that kind of stuff, I just dumped it that day. I said, this is it, because you gave me the wrong person here. So now I want you to fix that. So if you can do it, I don't think you're God. You know I don't think you're God. But I'm just talking to nobody probably. But I'm talking. And I'm doing the best I can, which is not you're supposed to do that, but I'm doing it. So give me this daughter. Now she's a Christian. David's a Christian. Margaret's a Christian. Kirsten's a Christian. 11 grandchildren, all Christian. All of them. All of them. And so it's exciting. So you know what? This thing is wonderful.
Amen.
But you'd have to be happy all the time, and I am.
Hallelujah.
You can't make me, you can't sin against me. You can sin against me, but you can't sin against me and win. Because I know, I don't care about your love, but I know God loves me. I'm just going to stick with that. I'm just going to rely on Jesus' words. So I'm not going to try to win your favor or please or anything. I don't do that. But if Jesus could make me a Christian, I'll tell the whole world. That's powerful. I'm going to tell everybody about this. And so you can have millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of followers that have to listen to your tapes, your TV, your everything. And now I'm doing some work for Ken Copeland Ministries. I did one on Augustine, and he want me to come back and do another one on Augustine, because Augustine was the beginning of the Middle Ages, and Luther was at the end of the Middle Ages. So he was the last medieval man. That was the first medieval man. And they, while they were alive and acting, everything happened powerfully. And his confessions, his, you know, works all against all kinds of people. I mean, anyone that was not right, he rifled them, because he was a rhetorician, and he knew how to speak, and he knew how to win the emperor over, and he had all these powers. So he then was able to see Rome be totally destroyed by the Vandals. And Hippo, he was the bishop of Hippo, he watched that also. So they said, could you come back and teach what you said about he is the preacher of grace? Just define that. So we're going to have another half an hour just on that. So I'm going to go back and do that. And then I'm going to do one on Luther, how he influenced America through the gospel of Jesus Christ. How his teaching during the Reformation, 16th century, actually influenced Luther. And they didn't even collect his books until 1883. That's the first time. That was just the 19th century, late 19th century. So nobody even knew him here, because Germans all spoke German. And so nobody understood what they were saying, you know, unless they were German. And so he had no influence like Calvin did, and like, you know, Wesley did, and like all the other reformers. They were able to influence America. They were all Protestant for the most part. Now the Catholics are catching up, because they have a lot of kids, and they're catching up. And so they're Christian. It doesn't matter whatever they're, because you're not the judge. So I don't really care. Pray for them too. Forgive them too. Bless them too. They need the truth. So the popes in ancient times didn't believe in it. So what? Pray again. Keep it up. You're asked to love your neighbor as yourself. So I don't care if you're Hindu, Buddhist, witchcraft, Satanist, it doesn't matter. This gospel goes to all the world, because God wants this gospel to go to all the world before he comes back.
Hallelujah.
And so love everybody that you know. Anybody you run into, love them, forgive them. Don't treat them like they ought to be. Treat them that you see with your own eyes. Don't blame them. Don't blame them. God doesn't blame them. You don't blame them. That's a Christian. That's why you're hot. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is good.
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this message that goes all over the world. We thank you, Lord God, that this gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth that will set us free, free from tyranny, anarchy, and everything else that's negative and bad. Not because we wanted to fix up the world. We just do it because you said do it. And if that's the way you want it, that's the way it'll be. Everything that you spoke to us is the truth, the gospel truth, the covenant that Abraham made so that all the families of the earth will be blessed, and many from every tongue, every family, every culture, they will be in heaven with us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love y'all.
Hallelujah.